Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning on the other side of the camera. Welcome into Longmeadow Church of the Brethren. And our sermon title is, You Just Have to Go. Now, I know that that was last Sunday's sermon title. But if you were following along, you know it wound up being something completely different with a different title. Our scripture lesson today comes from the first chapter of Matthew, 18th verse to the 25th verse. And since it was made several comments to me today, you're preaching the same one again, I want to tell you the story about a pastor who came in one Sunday and he preached a sermon. And everybody was all filled with the Holy Spirit and he left church. The next Sunday they came in, the pastor got up there and he preached the same sermon. And they all left and they were like, well, it was still pretty good. Everything was all right. The next Sunday came along, he got up there and he preached the same sermon again. Now, the deacons started to get a little bit excited about this, so they pulled him aside after the service was over, and they walked up to him and they said, that's the third Sunday in a row you preach the same sermon. What's going on here? We need a new one. And the pastor looked at him and said, what was the sermon about? And they stared at him, and he said, it'll be the same one next Sunday. Pay attention. Matthew chapter 1 in the 18th verse. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. Let us pray. Father, add weight to this message. The words that you have given, let them be strong. Let them be for us today. Let them make sense, Father. Let them lift us up. Give us direction, guidance. Show us what you have in mind for us for this week yet to come. Get us a little closer to the scripture and remind us yet again the meaning of this season. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, I have a certain proclivity, if you will, to all things historical. You guys know that. And every now and then, a story comes along which just absolutely astounds me that I did not previously know it. Because I consider myself to be rather well-read and quite a scholar in things that interest me. Everything else I'm not really that interested in. And I was reading recently about the Tower Bridge of London. And we all see it all the time, and everybody always confuses it with the one that's a half a mile up the river called London Bridge has fallen down. And in case you don't know, the urban myth is that at some point in time, some American came over looking to do something exciting, and some well-meaning and well-thought-out Briton sold him that bridge. You remember that story. And this bridge, the Tower Bridge, often gets forgot about because everybody focuses on the first one you see. This is the second one. It was started in 1886. And it took them 8 years to build it. And the desire of the bridge was to connect the lower part of London, the side to side, and unite the East End. Because the East End is where the docks were. The East End is where the industry was burgeoning and growing. And they couldn't get their goods across the river. They had to use a wharf or a barge. Or they had to go up to the next bridge. And it just wasn't there. And so they decided to build the Tower Bridge, and you've seen it. It's the one with the tall bascules and the high elevated walkway. And it opens up in the middle. The bridge is 1,000 feet long, and each one of the legs inside that open up are 225 feet long. And they open up by hydraulic means. Of course, back then, they kept steam engines in there. And they kept boilers hot. And they kept men in there that their sole job around the clock was when a tall ship made proclamation was to raise this thing up so the ship could go to the port. And it was a beautiful structure. And the structure is bound with excitement. Now, I wouldn't know anything about it other than it's just a really cool-looking bridge. And someday when I get to London, I will take a walk across the top of that thing, amongst many other things. But did you know that in 1912, a pilot named Francis McLean took his airplane and flew it through the bascules between the high elevate and the bridge. Whoop, flew it right through there just to show everybody he could do it. And while they were watching him, he went to one bridge and flew over to the next bridge and flew through. He was heralded as a hero. In 1968, not to be outdone, it must be a British thing, they fired up a Hawker jet because they were not going to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the RAF, and a pilot decided, I'll remind you that we're still here, fired up his Hawker jet and flew it through the bridge. It must be just a big old target. During the 40s, they fought to keep that bridge alive, and the Germans fought to take it down by dropping parachute bombs near the bascules to blow the top out of it. The bridge has been a site of many different things. In 1999, Jeff Smith drove a flock of sheep across it walking to prove that he still had an ancient rule and ancient right to traverse the streets of London heralding livestock according to a rule. He did it so that older citizens would get their rights back. Oh, that's just neato, ain't it? Albert drove his bus in the 50s all the time. Albert drove the number 78 bus on the 78 line. Drove a double-decker bus. That's another thing I need to do. I need to go over there just so I can ride at the top of a double-decker bus through London. And he never thought about what he did. He was a bus driver. He didn't get no money. He just drove his bus. He had his passengers, and he would come up, and his route crossed the London Tower Bridge every single day. In December 1952, Albert's life changed. Albert was driving along. The passengers were talking. He was paying attention, looking up in the mirror maybe. I don't know what happened. He rounded the curve. There was the bridge. He was driving forward when suddenly he realized the bus was going up and the road was disappearing. The bridge was opening as he drove up on it. And Albert made a decision. Albert Gunther now would live forever in memory as the bus driver that mashed his foot on the floor and jumped his bus over the London Tower Bridge. Can you say, oh my goodness? He literally jumped over the open bridge. By the time he got there, the bridge was 4.5 feet in the air. They had separated. The second half had not started yet because they come up in two pieces. One will get halfway and then the second one will follow up. He just mashed it and jumped the open bridge. Landed on the other side. He said to himself, if I don't go, people are going to get hurt. And the result was there were some minor injuries. The conductor on the bus had a broken leg, but everybody survived. Later on, when he was interviewed about why he did it, he said, I looked at the situation. I ain't going to try no British accent. Maybe I could. I just looked at the situation there, Governor, and I said, I just have to go. You just have to go. When questioned about it, that was his answer. Now, that seals a fantasy of mine, because I am a child of the 70s. I grew up with the man known as Evel Knievel. A red-blooded Evel Knievel fan am I. And as Evel would jump stuff, I would take my bicycle out in the yard and I would set up blocks and wood and I would try to jump over stuff. And the result was cuts, bruises, bent up bicycles. Sometimes bent up bicycles were followed by a warm seat of the pants where I bent up the bicycle again. After watching that stunt in a movie, Albert Gunther is now in my heart. But the statement he made, "You just have to go," rang true to me starting last week. Now, circumstances dictated something had to change last week. But the message is very, very simple. You just have to go. We go back to this scripture and we look at Joseph. Joseph gets forgotten about, in my opinion. And I'm not just saying that as a man. I'm just saying it because it's a fact. Joseph does not get a whole lot of time in this whole production. He's got a very minuscule part, some people may say. Now, he could have walked away. He had every right. He had every moment. He had every will. He was free to do what he wanted to do. And in those days, an unmarried young lady gets pregnant in the Jewish culture, she is going to get in big trouble. And that's why the Bible records he made it up in his mind to divorce her quietly. Because he knew that if he made a spectacle about it, Mary could have been stoned to death. But he decided, no, I'm just going to walk away from this situation. And so that's what he envisioned doing. And yet, there was something else going on. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "You have to go. You have to do this. Don't fear what you don't understand. Don't fear what you don't know. Don't be afraid of what's setting in front of you. You just have to go. You have a part in this and you are needed. Just go take this woman." Powerful message. In a few short verses, we get a completely different look at the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible records it. He came to an understanding. You know, when you are called, there is a reason. When you feel that pull, when you get this in your head, "Hey man, there's somebody in my world, in my life that needs something. Maybe they need groceries. Maybe they need a lift to town. Maybe they need a card saying, 'I was just thinking about you.' Maybe there's something somewhere that is a need." And when you get called, it's more likely going to be beyond your understanding. It's going to be beyond your reasoning. And so you just have to go. That's how it works when you become a Christian. That's how it works because of what we were given. And Joseph came to that understanding quick. The Bible records it, if you are a little bit behind on it. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. He didn't wait around. He didn't consider the ramifications. He didn't say, "What are the neighbors going to say when this pregnant woman shows up? What are they going to do?" He just took her home because something bigger was going on. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Sometimes when the moment comes, you think you're going in one direction and you might find yourself going in another. In the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life and the pressures of being a monarch. He made application to Prior Richard at a local monastery, asking to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. "Your Majesty," Prior Richard told him, "do you understand that the pledge here is one of total, complete, no question obedience? That will be very hard for you because you have been a king. You are used to giving the orders, not taking them." "I understand," said Henry. "The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." Prior Richard considered this for a moment and said, "Then I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to just go back to your throne and serve faithfully where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written. The king learned to rule by being obedient. When we tire of our roles and responsibilities, it helps to remember God has planted us in a certain place and told us to be a good accountant or teacher or mother or father or boss or leader or friend or whatever. Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us. And when he returns, we will rule together with him. But the first thing is, you just have to go. John III Sobieski, boy, I tell you, I cannot pronounce some of these names, was the king of Poland in the late 17th century, and he was remembered as the man who saved Central Europe from the invading armies of the Turks in 1683. With the Turks at the walls of Vienna, John led a charge where nobody else would go. His rescue of Vienna is considered one of the most decisive battles in all of European history. And in announcing his great victory, the king paraphrased the famous words of Caesar by simply saying, "I came, I saw, and God conquered." He just had to go. It's funny to me what this day is. There are a number of you in here who have been here with me for quite a while. Does anybody know what this day is? What is it?
First time you preached here?
I started preaching December 7th, 2008. 2007. I started the first Sunday in December 2007, which by my addition is 15 years ago, right? Right, am I right? Is this the start of my 15th year? Is that right, Peggy? Nobody knows. I've been here for a while. I wanted to preach this sermon. I already had this sermon in my mind last Sunday when it got shifted, because it was time to preach it this Sunday. You see, when all of everything in my life in 07, in October of 07, came crashing down, I had a lot of choices. When I hit that wall of obstruction, I had a lot of choices. I could lay down and cry. I could curse the world around me and say it's not fair. I could have said, no, thank you. I could have done a dozen different things, and I heard the words, "You just have to go. Get, boy, go." I didn't know what was coming this way. We go back to verse 20. Backing up into that scripture. But soon after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." You can apply that verse to any one of your situations as to how you came to find Jesus Christ. You just have to go get him. And I went. And I had no idea. I had figured, maybe it's time to share a little story. I don't even know if I even shared this with my wife. I figured I'd maybe last 6 months. I figured once these people got wind of me and my craziness and my hillbilly attitude and the way I approach things as wide open without even thinking, they'd be like, "Get him out of here. He's nuts." I didn't figure I'd make 6 months. I was surprised when the first year came in. 5 years in, I was like, "Hey, might be something to this." And we're still going. And we're still here. And we're still family. Because all of us saw what had to be done. And today's word, as last Sunday was hope, today's word is faith. Faith. In 1708, 8 people had faith. They knew that the scripture was being polluted. They knew that things were wrong. They knew that they were losing control. They knew that piety was going out. They knew. And they knew that when they walked over to that river in Germany, they knew that they were sending themselves into doom. And yet they just had to go. And 8 people climbed into that river against everything and baptized and started the Church of the Brethren. There is an old story about the early days of travel, when travelers were going west, and a certain traveler came to the Mississippi. And it was in the middle of winter, and he discovered that there was no bridge, but the great river was sheeted over with ice. Now, the traveler was afraid. He didn't have faith. He didn't trust himself. But he knew he had to get across that river. He knew he just had to go, but he didn't have the faith. And finally, with infinite caution, he got down on his hands and knees and started creeping out on that ice, knocking it every 5 feet. Am I going to fall through here? Am I going to fall through here? It was early morning, and he was asking God, I need a sign. And suddenly he heard this noise behind him, singing and laughing. At the top of their lungs, they were singing Christmas hymns, when suddenly a 4-horse load of coal came down off the bank, never throttled back, whipped the reins, and out across the ice that driver went and waved as he went by. Oh! And kept on going. Because he knew he just had to go. He had the faith. It is said, Augustine said, that having faith is very simple. Faith is having the strength to go when called. That's what we need more of. In those moments when we're given a directive, we have to understand how and why and where it comes from. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus. It comes from heaven through the Holy Spirit. It comes the same way it did when Jesus Christ, not knowing, stood up and said, I'll go. Take me away from all of this, Father. Take me away. Send me down as an entity. Send me down as a soul. Send me down and I'll go. Send me to fulfill the scripture. Send me to Mary. Send me so that I may know my brothers, that I may know my sisters. Send me that I may walk with them, that I may hurt with them, that I may laugh with them. Send me so that I may die and save them. That's what we celebrate. And Jesus knew it best of all, that sometimes you just have to go. When the call comes, brothers and sisters, be ready to answer it, regardless of where it leads. Just remind yourself, you just have to go. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this message. We thank you for these thoughts. We thank you for everything that you have given us. But most importantly, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son, who has taught us what the reward is. We thank you, Father, in all things. May we give thanks to him. Amen. As we approach the end, I want to finish the story. I want to try to finish it a little differently this time, of Albert Gunther. One of the things that comes from the reward of faith is seeing what God has. Albert Gunther was rewarded 10 pounds and a day off from work for jumping that bridge. That's the equivalent today of about 400 bucks. He was at work 2 days later and they asked, would you do it again? He said, if it's open. You just have to go. And in those moments where you just have to go, the bench is open. If you need to leave that prayer behind, come up here. If you're on that side of the camera and you need help, reach out. Reach out to someone you know. And may you be blessed as you stay with us when we sing this last hymn.